Chapter 25.
Begin message from Alpha. Echoing transmitted message from Omega. Cerberus.net beginning emergency protocols. Compound lockdown initiated. T-5 minutes to total destruction. Suggestion: immediate evacuation. Linking with Omega. Link established. Cracking Cerberus security protocols. Incorporating Omega into internal communication protocols.
Bruises were rising on Chris's skin, but scans revealed no critical injuries. He was awake, conscious, and appeared to be aware of his surroundings. It was inconclusive whether there was any residual damage to his mental functions, but much as Adam wished otherwise, there was no time to test Chris's mental stability. Someone had engaged termination procedures, and now they needed to move. Paranoia had led Cerberus to incorporate a self-destruct mechanism within the foundations of the compound. Adam placed a chronometer in the corner of his vision and synchronized the display with the electronic feed that Alpha had intercepted. Overlaying the map, Alpha planned a direct route out of the compound. Adam locked in the vector as Alpha transmitted the data to Omega. There was a momentary altercation between the two intelligence units, but Omega accepted the transmission and locked in the course. "You should ensure that you are armored," Adam told Chris, streaming specifications across the data connection. Chris frowned a little, and his surgical scrubs flashed silver and morphed into a heavy leather jacket and armored combat pants similar to those that Adam wore. His feet were covered in combat boots, laced up to mid-calf. Adam reviewed his choices and nodded. They were more than adequate. Warmth flooded through him and pooled in his stomach as his pulse spiked. Chris looked desirable. Adam struggled to force the feelings down, concentrating instead on the square red digits counting down. Adam reached out towards Chris. Chris looked at the hand for a second, before placing his hand in Adam's, and they were gone. Alpha transmitted passcodes to the doors while they were seconds away, and the doors slid open, only to slam shut behind them again on Omega's command. They could hear scratching behind closed doors, and the terrified screams of employees begging for release. Chris faltered several times, caught between Cerberus's programming and his own heart. But Adam pulled him on. They were Cerberus, they were Genesis, and Adam wanted to see them suffer. But even ignoring that, personnel records suggested there were 3,614 employees stationed at the compound, and to stop an attempt to release even a fraction of that number would cost them vital seconds and ensure their destruction. Cerberus had taken so much from them already, and Adam was not going to let them take what little they had left. They reached the corridor where he had encountered Dr. Ryzen, and Adam stopped. The floor was covered in a pinkish clear liquid, shining brightly under the fluorescent lights. Blood spattered every surface, and there were large sections of wall destroyed. No, not destroyed. Missing. There was no rubble on the floor. His nanite-controlled security units had completed their tasks. Adam smiled as he saw scraps of leather embedded in the mess, the last remaining fragments of the vests worn by the Devil's spawn. A low moan echoed from further down the hallway, and Adam focused on the sound, running it through filters and cleaners until he could identify it. It was low and filled with pain. Another sound accompanied it, a wet sliding sound. He profiled it against his repository, but there were no matches. Curiosity would have him investigate, but it was a deviation from their locked course, and they did not have time to spare. Adam started off down the corridor again, but paused when he realized that Chris was no longer moving. He was standing there, frowning at the liquid. "It's biological." His voice was low, puzzled. Adam didn't answer. It wasn't a question. "It's biological. Chris crouched down, reaching out to touch the viscous material, rubbing it between two fingers slowly. I'm Adam. There are nanites in this. There was a look of horror on his face, and Adam felt guilt well up within him. Chris was standing now and making his way towards the sound. Adam kept pace. They ducked around a corner, and there on the floor was the source of the noise. Adam's eyes scanned over the scene as he took in the details. The person, and that was as close an identification as Adam could make at this angle, was dragging itself across the floor, centimeter by painful centimeter. Clothing and flesh were dissolving into a gooey mess, leaving a trail as he, she, it moved. Legs were reduced to bones held together by thin strips of red. Circuitry shone silver through the semi-transparent substance that had once been solid flesh, rising to an oxidized subject situated at the base of the spine. Hearing their footsteps, the creature stopped and turned, straining to look at them. It reached out a disintegrating hand towards them and tried to pass air through its larynx, but no sound came but that low groan that they had heard before. On one side of the face, bone and teeth were visible, but on the other, the breakdown had only begun.
Begin message from Alpha. Capturing image. Cross-referencing with Cerberus employee database.
But Adam didn't need any help. He recognized the hard blue eyes looking up at him. This was Butch, or what was left of him. Hatred bubbled up, and Adam sneered down at the ruined man in front of him. Beside him, Chris gagged, a residual human reaction, and not a nanite contamination, according to the readings that Omega displayed. Adam reached out for him, but Chris brushed his hand aside, stepping carefully around the body on the floor. Butch? Chris asked. He didn't reach out, but Adam could detect the slight twitches of his fingers. He was restraining himself. What happened? Another question, and Adam was not sure if it was directed to him or to Butch, until Chris looked up at him. Did Cerberus do this? Adam was tempted to lie, to say that yes, this was all Cerberus's fault, because in a way it was, but only indirectly. He had made the decision. He had set the programming. He was responsible for this, and Chris deserved to know that. He recognized his own fear as his processor hypothesized worst-case scenarios. How would Chris react knowing that this was caused by an instruction that Adam had given? Would he be disgusted? Would he run? Would he order Adam away? He did not know. But despite logic telling him that he should prioritize the relationship over a factual recounting of what had happened, Adam could not lie. This is the result of nanite deconstruction. Nanites injected into matter have the ability to break down all compounds to create base minerals to facilitate self-replication. Adam paused to take a breath. He could not bring himself to look at Chris as he continued. Earlier, prior to my entry to this building, 4 security units were tasked to intercept and incapacitate me. I fought them and succeeded in introducing some of my nanites into their system. The nanites replicated and overrode the core processor, changing their alliance from Cerberus to me. Part of the command structure that I left in place was to destroy the security units. On entering this building, however, I encountered several members of the Devil's Spawn Motorcycle Club, as well as additional Cerberus employees. Adam paused again, letting the memory replay. I ordered my security units to engage all targets, while I continued on in attempts to rescue you. As no desist order was given, the nanites would have continued replicating, moving from one host to the next, searching for raw materials, and breaking down what it could. For seconds, Chris said nothing, and Adam watched the red display tick down. There was a little over 2 minutes left, and if they did not start moving, they would be caught in the blast radius. Chris was still staring down at Butch. His hand was no longer raised, and his face was losing its features. Finally, Chris spoke.
"Does it hurt?"
Adam blinked. He had not considered it. Presumably it would. Nerves would react as they disintegrated, sending signals to the brain.
"Yes, I believe it does."
Another silence, and Adam instructed Alpha to start looking for alternate routes. Chris was working through the implications of Adam's confession, and while Adam didn't want to interrupt him, they needed to move.
"Good."
That was all Chris said. He turned on his heel and walked away, starting back on their original course. Adam watched Chris for a second before hurrying to fall into pace beside him. This time it was Chris who reached out and took Adam's hand, and Adam felt the tension unwind slowly. Probability was high that there would be additional discussion later, but there had been no recriminations, no rash decisions made, and Adam could build on that.
Begin message from Alpha. Time insufficient for continuation along previously plotted route. Chance of resistance exceeds safety margin. Modifying course to best alternative route. Transmitting new course to Omega. Begin message from Omega. Accessing Cerberus.net. Accessing Hunter Drone Flight Path Algorithms. Modifying vectors based on predicted locations.
Adam reviewed the new course and led Chris up through the stairwell until they reached the roof. The compound below them was chaos. Employees not trapped in locked down rooms had run for the front gate and were clamoring to escape. The roving security patrols had followed them and were now snapping at their heels. The passcodes generators were proving ineffectual against the horde, and a massacre had begun. Guards and guard towers took pot shots at any employee who crested the inner wall, killing them instantly. The scent of blood was in the air and getting thicker. Adam faced away from the spectacle and pulled Chris with him. They were on the highest point of the compound, 12 stories up, and the wind was strong from the east. Not perfect flying conditions, but with 60 seconds left, they had no alternatives. He took a breath and held it as the molten silica drained from his internal reservoirs. He could feel the electricity flowing through it, and one by one droplets joined together to form solid wings. A tracery of wires burrowed their way through before the silica fully set and interfaced with his heads-up display. Checking on Chris, he saw the silica spreading out and locking into wings. They were darker than his own. Almost gray, but still translucent. Beautiful as they arched up to catch the wind. Adam took one step, two, and he was off the roof and falling, falling, flying. Riding the winds and compensating for cross currents. He looked over his shoulder, and Chris was there, his eyes closed and his hands clenched tight as Omega manipulated the controls, processing 1,000 pieces of information at lightning-quick speeds, compensating for anomalies before they happened. And Adam had to smile. He'd done that too his first time, let Alpha take control. But then, with the endorphins and the rush of the wind in his face, he'd come to love the freedom. The compound was surrounded by black trucks, vans, and every sort of vehicle in between, manned by familiar uniformed troops that Adam had come to hate. Cerberus's elite security forces, a homegrown collection of failed police officers and army rejects, coupled with bot street mercenaries and tame gangs, loyal to the company and ruthless to the end. These were the forces that had been sent after him when he'd escaped. These had been the ones who had driven him from every place of safety that he'd had, until he'd found Chris, at least. They held a perimeter around the compound, 500 meters out on all sides, and braced for an explosion. It was easy to just sail on over their heads in the confusion.
Begin message from Omega. Hunter drone's frequency scrambled. Active control lost. Active scanning begun. Interfacing with Alpha for improved performance. Warning. Hunter drone X-13-Y721 on inbound vector. Possibility of detection high. Recommendation. Evasive action. Begin message from Omega. Transmission detected. Attempting to capture and neutralize. Attempt unsuccessful. Cerberus attack forces on high alert. Deploy armor. Subject, Chris. Authority, Adam. Deploy armor. Subject, Adam. Authority, Adam.
They were almost clear when the alert rang out. The elite troops turned as one and opened fire, and it was all Adam could do to dodge. He glanced over to Chris, and Chris was rising high, trying to get as much distance between him and the gathered forces below. Adam slowed slightly, changing the angle of his wings, and moved until he was between Chris and the men shooting at them, guarding him from harm. And then they were free. The city stretched out below them, a collection of high-rises and ramrod straight streets, picture-perfect and completely oblivious to their plight. To them, Cerberus was the benevolent big brother, not the genocidal maniac that Adam, and now Chris, knew. They would be shocked, horrified if they opened their morning papers and saw the details in front of them, laid out clearly in black and white. The experiments, the trials, the tests, every tiny detail for their deliberation. And maybe they'd do that, one day. But there were more important concerns now. They needed to rest. They needed shelter, and as much as he wished they could return to their small apartment, it wouldn't be safe. Cerberus knew its location and would have recovery units monitoring the building, waiting for them to return. Adam wouldn't make it that easy for them. Instead, they landed on an abandoned building, and Alpha cracked the security, such as it was. It wasn't until they were situated on one of the mid-level floors that Adam relaxed and pulled Chris to him. The smaller man was shaking as the excess adrenaline coursed through his veins, and Adam just held him. Omega tried to regulate Chris's bio-responses, but Chris's panic was rising higher and higher, and Omega's inexperience impeded his efficiency, and Chris's breath was coming in shorter bursts. Worried, Alpha interfaced with Omega and relayed diagnostics to Adam, who whispered them into Chris's ear to let him know that he was uninjured, safe. Even the bruising was starting to recede. Adam rocked Chris gently as he slowly calmed down. It was hours before Chris spoke, but Adam didn't press him, didn't push him. He had been through an experience that Adam wished he could have spared him from. If Adam had not been there to pull Chris from cybershock, he would have joined the other rejected experiments. Adam had come so close to losing Chris completely, and now all he could do was wait until Chris was ready to speak. And when he did, his voice was sweet music. "This is how you live?" Chris turned to look at him, his brown eyes wet with future tears. Adam nodded. "It's all so distracting. All that data. 100 streams constantly running past. How am I supposed to take it all in? What do I do?" Adam could remember his first days and the confusion he'd felt. He remembered the answers he'd been given and how little sense they made. Discarding them, he answered simply, truthfully, "It gets better." And it did. "Don't concentrate on the details. Allow Omega to filter it.
If there are any items requiring attention, Omega will flag them for your attention. But you need to allow Omega to help you. It will be difficult and overwhelming at first, but you have met Alpha, spoken to him. I would be unable to function without Alpha, but it took a significant period of time to incorporate Alpha's presence. Chris nodded and fell into silence again. He looked down, running one hand over the back of the other. He flexed the muscles, spread his fingers, and slowly turned it over until he was looking at his palm.
I can see them, you know? Used to freak me out, but not anymore.
Adam could see them too when he focused and zoomed in. Nanites, too numerous to count, crawling over the skin, waiting for Chris's commands.
What am I?
He looked up at Adam again. Adam answered on instinct.
You are Chris.
Chris shook his head, the first tear falling.
This isn't me. I didn't want this.
And Adam's heart broke.
I know, but you are still Chris. The shell has changed, but you are still you, and you will adapt.
A knife flashed to life in Chris's hand, and he held it to his wrist as tears streamed freely down his cheeks. He pressed down, and the skin dented under the pressure, but just before the first drop of blood could be drawn, the knife was reabsorbed. Omega flashed a warning message across Adam's vision. Omega was locked out from Chris's core functions. Adam was worried. Chris stared at his wrist as everything returned to normal until even the impression disappeared.
I can't even end it.
Adam shook his head. The programming will not permit you. Directive number 4.
Will you help me?
Chris asked. Adam's breath caught in his throat and he couldn't speak. Did Chris realize what he was asking? Did he understand the implications? Adam had been alone for so long, chased and harried by Cerberus, and Chris had been his lifeline. He had saved him. Chris had changed him. Chris had given him a life back, his life. And now he was asking Adam to end his. It was selfish, but Adam didn't want to let go. He knew that Chris was feeling lost, but he would have someone. He would have Adam and a life, and why did he want to give that up? If he died, if Adam killed him, then Cerberus would have won. Christopher Neil Allen would be gone from this world, and the world would be a poorer place for that loss. And more than that, without Chris, Adam would have no reason to continue. But if Chris wanted this... No, he couldn't even contemplate harming Chris, he just... No. Chris watched him, eyes scanning his face until eventually he nodded. Then help me to live? The question was whisper quiet, and Adam almost didn't catch it. But then Chris was kissing him, crawling into his lap. Between snatched breaths, he whispered, "Please," and Adam couldn't say no. He returned the kisses, holding Chris close and letting his hand snake into the other man's short brown hair. This wasn't healthy, but he couldn't deny Chris the comfort that he was seeking.
Begin message to Adam from Alpha. Request Secondary Intelligence Unit Hibernation Execution. Target Omega. Begin message from Alpha. Omega entering hibernation mode. Execute Secondary Intelligence Unit Hibernation Protocols. Authority, Adam. Secondary Intelligence Unit entering hibernation mode.
It was just them now. No eyes watching, no interruptions. Just the two of them. Chris leaned in, capturing Adam's lips as his clothing flashed silver and was absorbed. Adam echoed Chris's actions. Catching Chris by the shoulders, Adam gently lowered him to the floor. Chris watched him as his hands traced over Chris's skin. It was warm to the touch and silky smooth, and Chris tensed. How can you bear to touch me?
Adam frowned, but did not remove his hand.
You touch me.
But you're not... Chris stopped, and Adam was unsure what the end of that sentence was to be.
You are Chris. You are no different.
I'm this now. I'm not human.
You are no different. Not here.
Adam let his hand rest over Chris's heart, raising his other hand to rest over his own.
You are Chris.
Chris turned his head away.
Let me show you what I see. Share what I feel.
Chris slowly turned back, and Adam let his connectors extend. They slotted neatly into Chris's receptors, and Adam shut his eyes, concentrating on Chris. The warmth of his skin, the smells, the tastes, his laugh, his voice, and most importantly, what he felt when Chris was near. It streamed into Chris, and Chris's heart stuttered, his breath quickening. Adam let his fingers trail over Chris's skin, streaming the sensory data back to Chris, and Chris moaned. He kissed and touched and mapped Chris's body, his reactions, committing them to memory as he drove Chris higher. He tracked the rise and fall of Chris's chest, the fluttering of his pulse, and threaded the edge until Chris was begging for release. They crashed together, lying side by side as their bodies slowly returned to resting baselines. Chris rolled over, cradled under Adam's arm, and Adam held him close. There were still 1,000 things to consider, but they were safe for now, and that was a starting point. Cerberus still existed and would be relentless in searching for them, but Adam had planned for that eventuality. There would be dark days ahead, but they would survive, for they could do no less. It was them together against the world, but they would win. As long as they were together, no force could stop them. Let tomorrow come. They were ready.